So, we're in part three of the Gospel for Outsiders, and today's is called, Are You Kidding Me? Right? If you want to follow along in the scriptures, it's on page 803 of the Pew Bible in front of you, in the seats. There's one under one of the seats somewhere in front of you if you want to follow along. The words will be on screen, and there's a lot of other scriptures I'm going to touch on today. You know, this is a fascinating story, really, because there's people that say if you even took this out of the Bible, you could still believe that Jesus is who he says he was, and I have a problem with that. Jesus was born of a virgin, and a virgin is a virgin, okay? And what I like about this is that Dr. Luke, I'm going to call him Doctor today, Dr. Luke investigated this. So of all the people that I would think would be skeptical of the story that I'm about to share with you is Dr. Luke, because he's a doctor, and doctors are also always skeptical about miracles, okay? There's people that say they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but don't believe in miracles. And I don't understand that, because if you can believe that he is the Messiah, that means you believe he died for you and he rose from the grave. If you can believe that miracle, okay, you can believe this miracle that he was born of a virgin. And they will say, because in Isaiah 7:14 it says, behold, a virgin will be with child. By the way, that is not what it says in that text. That is what it says in your English Bible. It actually says, young woman. So the Bible in the Old Testament doesn't say virgin. I just want to clarify you. I believe that Mary was a virgin. I'm saying in the original language, it doesn't say, behold, a virgin. It says, behold, a young woman. And when they were talking young woman, they're talking 14 years old. So, presumably, she's a virgin, right? In that context. But it doesn't denote the story that we're about to share today, okay? Because the story we're going to read today, the story where the angel comes down and shows up to talk to Mary, it's an amazing story. And this was, you got to, what did Luke do? We've talked about this, he investigated. So he either, Mary was still either alive at this point, and he actually got this from Mary, or he got it from one of her children, because Mary had children, by the way. Contrary to what Catholics believe, Mary had children and was not a virgin for her whole life. She was a virgin while she was pregnant with Jesus. That's it. If she was still a virgin after she married Joseph, she would have been committing sin, because a man and woman are supposed to become one. So she was only a virgin at conception of Jesus, through his birth. Joseph had to wait a long time to consummate his marriage bed, because he was honoring God. So, let's start. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And I've got to stop here, because I'm picturing Gabriel up in his little room in heaven, because I've got to picture what's happening here. And he gets, his buzzer goes off, and it's his time to get his orders for the day. And 6 months prior to this, he got the order to go to Elizabeth and tell her that she was going to be pregnant with child, and she was barren. Like, she was like everybody in town. She's barren. She's never going to have children. But now God calls him into his office, right? I don't think this is exactly how it happens, by the way. This is my paraphrase, okay? God calls him into the office and says, hey, Gabriel, I've got a job for you today. And he goes, okay, God, because Gabriel's eager. He loves it because God always gives him good news to send. So he's excited. Like I get excited, he's excited. He's excited about to share whatever God's going to tell him to share. And he goes, oh, I need you to go to Nazareth. And he goes, okay. And I need you to go tell this young woman that she's going to be pregnant. And he goes, okay. And because of that, he goes on and he gets there and he goes, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So you see, Joseph and Mary were from the house of David, by the way. They both belonged to the house of David. They were both belonged to the same tribe of people. In Genesis 3:15, God promises in 3:16 that he is going to cut off, he's going to send a child through the line of the woman to save mankind. Genesis. He makes that statement in Genesis. This is now happening. Right? Lots of years after he said that he was going to do this, it's happening. So it's happening. How many women before that thought, am I going to be the one to carry the Messiah? Is this going to be the next person to carry? No. But it wasn't. It was going to be Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. I know I've got some people that grew up in the Catholic Church, and this is where part of the Hail Mary came from. I forgot what it's called because I'm not Catholic, but this is where it came from because they translate it in the Vulgate, highly. The one is covered in grace. Okay, so she is part of the grace. It's not just Jesus. This is where the doctrine comes from in the Catholic Church. It's also Mary. But that's not what it says. It says, greetings, O favored one. Have you ever heard that phrase in the Bible before? Many times. The Lord is with you. But as usual, she was greatly troubled. This is everybody who meets an angel is greatly troubled. I'm telling you, we look at these cuddly little feathery looking angel things and they look so pretty and you're like, oh, that's so angelic. I think they're terrifying. I actually think they are going to be like angels and not. I think they're going to be beautiful, but terrifying at the same time. You know? Because everybody who sees one is scared. I mean, the fact that it just shows up, that might be part of the reason. Boom, there's somebody there, but then the whole thing, and she's greatly troubled and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. He's memorized that verse. Mary, you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God because God chose her. This goes back to election when we were talking in Ephesians. God elected Mary. She was chosen by grace. That word favor or favored in the Bible can be translated in the Old and New Testament, both favored or grace. You have been shown grace. They're the same word. They've got the same root word. Okay, they mean the same thing. This is what it is like. You see, we know the story of Noah, and it says in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah wasn't a sinless man. Mary wasn't a sinless woman. Okay? They were born of man, so they were sinners. Because if they weren't, Mary could have went to the cross first. Noah could have went to the cross first. But they weren't. They were sinful human beings. When Noah found favor, this is how I like to imagine it, because I imagine God as this massive being, even though he doesn't have no form or shape, God the Father doesn't. I imagine him putting his hand down and going, "Hi, Noah, you'll do." Puts him back down, and that's how he showed favor. Just, it was like putting your hand in. It's like when we draw that raffle later, it's like putting your hand out and pulling out a ticket. That's how he found favor. He wasn't perfect. He was a sinful. Do you know how I know he was a sinful human being? Because after he built the ark, after the flood dissipates, he's like a redneck. He goes in a tent, gets drunk, and hangs out. That's what he does. I mean, so it shows you he wasn't a perfect human being. Mary wasn't a perfect human being. That's why, as Christians, we don't worship Mary. We worship Jesus. She just happened to be the one that God chose to carry her. What a privilege she had. She knows, we'll find out in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or whenever I get to it, we'll find out that she understands this herself. Also, number 6:25-26, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And Genesis 39:3-4 says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands, because he had favor. So Joseph found favor not only from God, because he had favor from God, he found favor from who? His master. And he made him an overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. He goes on to say this. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Can you imagine how awesome that would have been back then? Not the fact that, back then you didn't have ultrasounds. Like, do you know how hard it is? Anybody who's been a parent, right? She has found out she's going to have a son, and you should call his name Jesus. She's got the two hardest things out of the way right away. She didn't have to come up with a name for him and know his sex. He's going to be a boy, and you're going to call him Jesus. But I wish God would do that with me. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. See, he will be great. Remember what we said about John the Baptist? He will be great in the sight of God. Now, he will be great in the sight of God. Jesus is going to be great in the sight of everybody. Because even the people that don't think he's great now, that has lived in this day and age now, one day, the Bible says, Every knee will bow. That every knee, by the way, is all the people that are going to get thrown into hell, because hell is a real place. They're going to bow too. They're going to bow, realize that they were goats and not sheep, and they're going to be tossed into the fire. But they are going to bow because Jesus is great. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, because she's just standing there listening to this message, and she goes, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will shadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, could you imagine this? I'm reading this and I get so excited because I'm like, this angel's all pumped up. He's got this message to give. And go back to the last verse and he goes, you know, he's got this big thing. He's telling her, you're a virgin. God's going to make you pregnant with child. You're going to have a boy. You're going to have a boy. And he's going to be holy. And he's going to be called holy. And he is the Son of God. Oh, and by the way, 6 months ago, I was visiting your relative, Elizabeth. She's ready to conceive a son, too. Can you imagine? It was like he didn't know what to say. It's like he's kicking the stones around beneath his feet, wondering, I've just given all this news, and he's looking at, what do I say? Do I disappear now or do I continue? What do I do? And he goes, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age. It's not very fair, is it? In her old age has conceived a son. And Mary's thinking, because Mary didn't know. Mary, at this time, Mary's thinking, really? Elizabeth? Pregnant? How can that be? And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Barren, meaning her womb was useless. But God made it so. For nothing will be impossible with God. You see, we need to remember nothing is impossible with God. Do you know why? And here's the thing is, it's a good job there's not little kids in here. My granddaughter went down because she'll go, can God lie? Can God do this? Well, God can't lie, by the way. Nothing is impossible with God within his rules and righteousness. He's not going to break and sin because it could God lie? Absolutely. But he wouldn't because it would be against his nature. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. I used to say I'd never step foot in church. Nothing is impossible with God. If you'd asked me 23, 24 years ago, if I would be standing in a church preaching, I would have probably swore at you and told you was somewhat stupid. There would have been a swear word in front of it. Right? There's no way that will ever happen. That is impossible. But again, nothing is impossible with God. See, we have relationships that we struggle with, and we go, can God fix it? Yes, he can fix it. Because he saved me, he fixed my relationship with my dad. Because he saves you, because he works in your life, he can do anything. if it glorifies him. See, we've got to remember that. If it glorifies him. Deuteronomy 22, 23, 24 says, if there is a betrothed virgin and a man meets her in the city, this is saying about, this is why I know she was a virgin, by the way, city, and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry for help, though she was in the city, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. See, here's what would have happened. Mary gets pregnant. Joseph, if you know the story, is going to quietly divorce her. Because he thinks, you've been unfaithful to me. Okay? But an angel shows up to Joseph too and says, hey, no, that's not the case. Right? In a dream. Right? But Luke is a doctor, isn't he? In those days, they would examine her. She would still have her membrane inside. We're gonna get a little bit scientific right now. She would still have her membrane intact because she hadn't had sex. You are allowed to say that word in church. She hadn't had sex. So if she wanted to prove, a doctor would have examined her to make sure that she was still intact. Okay? Or she would have been stoned to death. You know, she was pledged to Joseph. That's not, we say she was engaged. Engaged is not even a good enough word. Because they weren't engaged. They were pledged. Pledged means they were married without the marriage ceremony yet. They were literally going to be together forever. Okay? We use the word engaged, but it's not engaged. They were married without the benefits of being married. Okay? Because they hadn't had the wedding yet. But they were betrothed to each other. They were going to be married no matter what. And this happens. And I want you to think about that. And don't forget that. For the rest of this sermon, because the last point I make is important to us. I only made these other points so I could get to the last point, because I was only going to have one point today. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. See, another barren woman that was trying to get pregnant for quite some time at an old age because they were told you were going to bear a child and you were going to have the lineage of my people, God's people. That's what he's saying. These are going to be my people. God spoke, these are going to be my people. Your son is going to be part of it. Really? Well, she's not getting pregnant fast enough, so I'm going to sleep with my handmaid. And look how that turned out. And that was the wife's idea. Jesus himself looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. But Jesus looked at, that's the same text, hold on. And Mary said, behold, that's the last verse we're going to do today. And behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be. We should have played let it be at the end, John. Let it be to my account accord to your word. And the angel departed from her. You know, that's really important right there. I don't think we grasp what that means. As Christians, this should mean a lot more than it does. It shouldn't just be a Christmas story in the middle of March. See, we need to be like Mary. And say with her, let it be. I am your servant. See, we have excuses why we can't follow God, or we can't tell somebody about Jesus. When Mary said that, do you think she knew what was going to happen? This was a day and age that if she had sex out of wedlock, she would have been stoned to death. Yet she said, let it be. If it's your will, God, for me to get pregnant and have Jesus, the Messiah, let it be. If I'm going to be persecuted because of what I believe, let it be. We so many times hide. See, we need to learn from her humility and learn from her bravery. Mary, see, how old do you picture Mary being at this time? At best, 14. 14. 14. You don't picture Mary at 14, do you, when you think of Mary having a baby? Because we live in a culture that would be weird. Okay? At this time, it wasn't. And Joseph, by the way, was probably 20 years older than her, the person she was betrothed to. That was the culture. Older men married younger women. That's just what happened back then. So she was 14, maybe 15 years old when this is happening. How brave was she to say to the angel, if this is God's will, let it be. If this is what you've got planned for me, let it be. She ran the risk by saying yes to God. What do you risk by saying yes to God? What are you scared about when you say yes to God? This young girl carried our Savior. And it wasn't even an afterthought. It was like, if that's the case, God, bring it on. If I'm going to be persecuted for what I believe, what you're doing, let it be. Let it happen. That's how we need to live our lives as Christians. See, that's the point. All scripture is important, and it all shows us how we should make choices in our lives. So instead of us being persecuted and worrying about being persecuted for what we believe, we should be proud and excited for what we believe. We shouldn't be afraid to share our faith with other people. Yes, there's going to be people who don't like you because of what you believe. There's going to be people that, guess what? They don't want to hang out with you because you're not cool anymore. You're not in the cool club because you don't want to live like they're living. Do what they're doing. But we can just be like Mary and say, God, let it be. Whatever you have planned for my life, let it happen. I'm not here because I chose this. I chose to be a carpenter. God chose this for me. God called, I answered. By the way, sometimes I don't want to do this. As much as I love it. Sometimes I don't want to be used by God. But God asked me. He owns me. I belong to God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you belong to Him. You are His servant. I just don't understand why we can't live like this. Why we can't just give our whole lives to Him and surrender all. It doesn't mean you have to give up everything. God still lets you have stuff. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. See, here's the thing. We say, we struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. Do you know why? Because I'm not submitting to God. If I was actually all in all the time, I would never, I don't believe I would struggle with a sin because I think there's a new self inside of me. But the problem is that new self sometimes gets overtook by my old self, and that old self's not submitting to the God of the universe. So I do and say things I wish I hadn't. Because I'm not perfect, just like everybody else in this room. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is what Mary would have done. This is what we do when we say no to God. Because we know we should be doing something, and then we say, that must be indigestion because I don't want to do it. Romans 8:7 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And Luke 22:42 says, it says this. And one day, we're going to get to this passage. But it's going to be a ways away. 20 years. Saying, Father, if you are willing. This is Jesus. Okay? Jesus submits to his Father. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. So it's not saying you can't ask God to take something that you're going through away from you, but you in the same breath need to say, but if your will to use it to glorify your kingdom, let it be. Not your will, not my will, but yours be done. And Romans 7:4 says, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that God, that we may bear fruit of God. See, do you think Mary bared a little bit of fruit from saying yes to God? Yes, I do. I think Mary gained a lot of fruit. Mary was blessed because God used her. I mean, how much honor if you was a woman to carry a God inside your womb. That God would choose you as the vehicle to carry his son, the Messiah. I mean, just to be true, Mary had heard this her whole life, by the way. This had been passed down for generations to generations to generations to generations. Eve probably started this conversation. Kept thinking, this is going to be the next person. This is going to be the next person. Nobody never came. Every child they had, they thought that boy is going to be the savior of the world. But it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be Mary. Job 22:21 says, agree with God and be at peace. Thereby God, good will come to you. And Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I think Mary was thinking that when she said, okay, let it be. If it's your plan, God, I know somehow you're going to protect me. At least as long as I'm carrying this child. And that's what happened. That's what happened. She got to carry the Son of God because she was willing. What would God have you do if you was really willing to use your life for him? Because that's what we need to do. We need to lose our life for him. That's why we're still here. Because if that's not the point, I don't know what is. Because he could have took me when I got saved, but he left me here. Could have took you when you got saved, but he left you here. Why? Because he's going to use you in somebody else's life. Maybe lots of people's lives if you're lucky. But he's going to use you. Because that's why we exist as people to make much of Jesus. As much of Jesus as possible, so other people will see Jesus, and so in ultimately heaven will be fuller because we allowed, not because we did anything special, but we allowed God to use us. Because you can't save anybody, only God does that. You can't save anybody. So say yes to God all the time. Next week, this week read Luke 1, 39 through 56. We're not out of Luke yet, Luke chapter 1 yet. We've got a few weeks to go. But Luke chapter 1, 39 through 56. I don't know if we're going to get through the whole passage, but I'm going to try next week because it's full and it's Mary's song. And you can really see the heart of Mary when she goes to visit her family member, Elizabeth, when she visits her cousin Elizabeth, and she's there, and she's the John, little John in the womb, jumps in the womb and fills his mother with the Holy Spirit. Because remember, two weeks ago I told you, John was going to be born with the Holy Spirit. He was going to be born full of the Holy Spirit. So he was in the womb full of the Holy Spirit. And when he leaped, so much of his passion came out because he knew that he was in his master's presence. That the Holy Spirit bled out of him into his mom. And then Mary bursts out in song. There's quite a few songs in the Bible. And we're going to listen to Mary's song next week. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you humbled yourself, Jesus, and came in the form of a man to live a life that we couldn't do. I thank you that Mary said yes to you when asked. I pray that you can help us as fallen human beings say yes to you. Don't worry about, help us to not worry about the consequences of our choices to follow you. Help us to be filled with the Spirit that must have been filling Mary that day, knowing that you are in control, and give us that peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that you hold the world in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.